From the DLC Media News Center, this is Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program produced by the DLC Media News Center. This week's guest is Mayor Duke Bennett of Terre Haute. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
I'm doing great, Barry. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much for coming over. I know there's a lot happening in the city of Terre Haute, but you pretty well covered it the other night in your State of the City address. Can you give us a synopsis of what you covered in that State of the City address?
Yeah, you know, there was a lot. It's kind of amazing how many things have begun to happen, you know, a lot of community involvement. And so it's really exciting to do these, but then you kind of think, wow, we really got that much done last year. So I kind of cover, you know, the previous year, and I didn't spend as much time this year as I have in the past on the previous year. Mm-hmm. So we looked at a lot of things that we accomplished, but really looked forward and looking ahead. So I think some of the things that really stood out as we kind of our challenges that are in front of us, workforce development is a huge one. You know, there's lots of businesses looking for people and they can't find them.
Yes.
So we've got to find a way to energize folks to, you know, look for some of these jobs, help these businesses to tap into state funding, especially mm-hmm. that will help them train their employees. There's a lot of things have changed a lot over the years in that workforce, but we need more people. The pool has to get bigger. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the points of emphasis. No matter what we do, if we're going to go out and recruit more businesses to come, you know, we got to fill the jobs we have and we got to be able to fill those new jobs. And I'm concerned about that. So mm-hmm. that was one of my big things we looked at. Housing is another one. Our housing stock is old. You know, we've torn down nearly 900 homes in the city since I've been mayor. We've still got 300 on the list. One thing, a little positive note last year was we had 28 homes that were saved. So we had condemned them. And typically, to bring them up to code, it just doesn't make any, you know, financial sense. But 28 of those were saved last year out of roughly the 100 we had targeted.
Now, does somebody in the private sector
yes.
come in and buy those?
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
And so they either were the owner and uh-huh. decided to invest in it, or a lot of times people have purchased them.
Yeah.
And they have to put quite a bit of money in those. And
yeah.
so that's a wonderful thing to happen. That way the government doesn't have to do anything and the private sector takes care of it. But we need more housing. We need single family homes. We need affordable housing and we need high-end housing. Mm. We're getting demand from every employer out there saying, we've got people who are going to be moving to Terre Haute. Well, there's no place for them to live. A lot of times they have to rent an apartment for a year right. in order to get into a house. So we're really going to focus there and invest some ARPA funds to help builders incentivize them. Child care is another issue that's a real concern. There isn't enough child care. That's keeping people out of the workforce. So we're looking at some efforts there to assist that private sector mm-hmm. and maybe do some public related things too. Our crime rate is really flat, which I'm happy about that. It'd be great if it was going down, but it's staying pretty much the same. You're seeing crime pick up in major cities all over, mm-hmm. But not in Terre Haute. So we're holding the line
Good.
On that. Our
Good.
Police department's doing a tremendous job. You know, our parks, that's another area of investment that we're really targeting. Quality of life. Because if you're trying to bring people to Terre Haute and you keep people in Terre Haute, you got to have things to do and have nice amenities. So we're going to be making some major investments in our park system, about mm-hmm. $5 million over the next two or three years.
Wow.
A new pool at Deming Park, or a refurbished pool and a new zero entry pool next to it.
Well, we've needed that for
absolutely.
A while.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hertz Rose Park, kind of in a north neighborhood revitalization project. That'll be the heartbeat of that up in that Rives Hall area.
Uh-huh.
Fairbanks Park, some major investments in that is our major, you know, park on the river.
Right.
And at Ray Park, a lot of discussion about we're saving the clubhouse and bringing some other amenities. And in some other inner city parks where we're going to put splash pads in and new playgrounds and try to spruce them up
That's
and
great.
Do some things there. So not only for the people that live there, but people, you know, who come from out of town. You know, it's as you walk through these, you know, city updates, state of the city, what's exciting is what I've seen over the last probably 5-7 years mm-hmm. is the community involvement. That's why we're getting things done. People are working together, county and the city, private sector, not-for-profits. Everybody's trying to make Terre Haute move forward. Mm-hmm. And we want all of West Central Indiana to do well.
Sure.
Terre Haute's kind of that hub. It always will
right,
be.
Right.
But how do we help everybody, you know, tape it up a little bit. And so everything we do, we try to follow the community plan. You know, we try to say, okay, how can we improve the health of our community? How can we improve household incomes? Mm-hmm. How can we improve the housing stock? All those things are tied together in a way that everybody's kind of working to help accomplish those goals. And that's why we're seeing success. Mm-hmm. So I'm very bullish on the next few years. I think with the Ready funds, with the ARPA funds, with the casino opening up and the money coming into the community for that, we're going to be able to continue to invest in ourselves, streets and sidewalks and parks and just a variety of things that's going to make Terre Haute a better place.
No, that's great. You know, there's been a lot of development downtown. A new restaurant just opened up downtown. Of course, the convention center is there. We had a restaurant just opened up down at the mall area. But do you see more investment or more people moving into downtown, more businesses moving into downtown?
You know, we're hopeful for that. I think some are just kind of waiting for the traffic to come from mm-hmm. the bigger events that we're going to have at the convention center. Mm-hmm. December was our biggest month so far since we opened in April. It just keeps growing each month. Right. But we need about 200 more hotel rooms downtown mm-hmm. to have those bigger, you know, multi-day conferences. And so
do you see, is that something might happen?
You know, we're working with Tim Dora and mm-hmm. Greg Gibson, who own the two hotels downtown now. They both run at a very high occupancy rate. So mm-hmm. they're very successful mm-hmm. hotels, but we need, you know, a lot more rooms.
Sure.
And so working with them, we got a Ready grant that will help them with the parking garage component of that, help us, mm-hmm. help them. It'll be a public-private partnership. And so absolutely, you know, the terminal opened up recently and they've been just packed every night.
Yeah,
I've been there several times with, and, you know, those are the kind of things that generate a lot of excitement and energy.
Exactly.
The Holman building, you know, that Greg Gibson purchased.
Is there anything in the
they're
wind for
starting?
That?
Yes. There's multiple things will be moving in there. The Chamber, the Terre Haute Economic Development Corporation, the workforce mm-hmm. development folks will be moving in there, plus some private businesses. And I think he hopes the upper floors to be housing of some type.
Mm-hmm.
He's working on get the coffee shop back open again, you know, in that part of the building. And so you're going to see a lot of activity in that building. You got the terminal. There's some other things downtown that mm-hmm. I can't talk about right now. I
okay.
think it's going to be really exciting if they are able to close the deals on.
Good.
I mean, it's going to be the next couple of years, you're going to see a lot of taking it up a whole level.
You may not be able to tell me anything about this, but what about the two theaters? I think Greg Gibson is involved in the Indiana Theater, but
mm-hmm.
the two theaters that are on Ohio Street, is there anything in the wind in the future for those two buildings?
Yeah, I think there is. Greg doesn't really want to be in the entertainment business with that.
I see.
But we've had several conversations about him, what the future holds for that building. He bought it so it could be saved.
Yeah.
He didn't want it to,
for him, yeah.
go downhill. And so I think you'll hear some things very soon
Good.
About that. And then the other building, I know that there's a couple of people interested in buying that and turning that into a venue, private sector
yeah.
transaction kind
yeah.
of a thing. But we just talked to a gentleman yesterday about that. That's it appears that he's moving forward to something there. We'll see exactly what that is, but he's very interested in acquiring that building and updating it and putting it into use.
Well, that's such a neat old building.
It
that's
is.
Another
a lot
one
of
we'd
people,
hate to see to leave the area, you know, get torn down. Yeah.
They've never, a lot of people haven't been in there, and I hadn't been in there until maybe 5 years ago, and I was like, wow, this is really a neat building.
It really, really is. Now, there's a lot happening on the north side of town, too, up in the 12 Points area.
Mm-hmm.
New businesses opening up, and boy, that just looks neat up there.
It does, you know, and we're going to continue to work with them and make some infrastructure and public investment up there. With libraries coming up there, you know, CVS closed, that was kind of a little bit of a hit, but I think something will eventually land in there to be very supportive of that neighborhood.
Right.
You know, those are the kind of little pocket things that improve the quality of life of the people that live around there. But then you hope people from other parts of town then will visit some of those small stores, and the small business owners are the backbone of every economy.
Boy,
and we're loving
for sure.
to see what's going on up there. And so I want to continue to be supportive of that. The city has been right there with them, and they're doing great things. And I think they still have a big vision and a long way to go and where they'd like to get to, but they've made tremendous progress in a short period of time.
That is really, really a great neighborhood area mm-hmm. up there right now. Or I shouldn't say neighborhood, I guess almost a business area, but people should visit it. If they
should.
Yeah. Now let's change directions and go south. The Rural King people moving into the old Kmart building. I guess that's been delayed a little bit, but that's going to be another boost for the area too.
It will. You know, the big boxes are struggling, as we all know.
Sure.
You know, things have changed a lot, but there are still certain things that meet the need of the community, like a Rural King, like, you know, Hobby Lobby moving into a different space. Somebody will fill that space across the street.
Yeah.
I'm not too concerned about retail. The mall still struggles a little bit, and I don't want to be negative about them. They've got some announcements they hope to make here in the coming months that will help them kind of turn things around. Mm-hmm. But those kind of things, it has changed. The shopping environment has changed, but we're still a major destination here. We relish that, and we encourage continued growth there. I think you're going to continue to see more. We would expect new restaurants to come, both in the south and on the east side. There's still a lot of traffic, a lot of people, and so there's a lot of opportunity. That's what it boils down to.
Right. I noticed the other day that firefighting truck was bought for the airport, and the airport. Tell us a little bit about the airport area and what's in the future out there.
You know, the airport itself is doing really, really well. It's the third busiest airport in the state of Indiana. I tell people that, and they look at me like I'm crazy sometimes, but it is, and we have no commercial service. They recently announced, and I reiterated it in a city update, $273 million annual impact to that airport to our community. That is gigantic.
Yeah,
it's huge. And it's something we should celebrate. A lot of those things are hidden and military related. There's some federal government dollars spent in a variety of other ways, but it has a huge impact. All the hangars are full. They're going to look to build some additional ones. We're working with Indiana American Water right now to bring more water service to that east side so that we can build, things can be built out there, and we can support that with that infrastructure. So I think you're going to see bigger and better things at the airport as they're able to build more facilities out there.
Well, we're talking air show coming back, right?
Yes, absolutely. So excited about that. Trying to look at every 3 years to have an air show.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure you get the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels. Yeah. That's kind of the key to bring the people in. But I think the last one is a very, very successful, but this one will probably be even more successful. I just anticipate.
Well, I know
they're already planning and doing their thing, you know.
People come from all over the Midwest to that.
They
thing.
Love that.
It's great.
And I love them too.
Yeah,
so
sure.
You're going to see a lot at the airport.
Yeah, that's really, really great. You mentioned Fairbanks Park a while ago. Can you give us a hint on what kind of improvements we're looking at for Fairbanks Park? It's such a gorgeous park down
there.
It is. On the banks
We'd
of the
like
river.
More people to access the river. It's all kind of about the plan to bring people to the river. And we've always had the park there, but it hasn't had a lot of amenities. There's some nice things there, but so we want to refurbish some things that are there and then bring some new features in. So we would like to, the sunken area with the art piece in the middle, we'd like to remake that and reuse that piece of artwork, but bring some water.
I remember when that fountain actually worked.
I know. Well, we're going to bring some water back into that,
right.
A water feature, and then some sunken gardens all around that what we envision. A river walk all along the river through the park with some type of a wall. We're working with the Army Corps of Engineers on that part right now. That's going to take us a little bit longer because you're working with the feds. But, and then bring some other features, a brand new playground, kind of similar to what we have at Deming Park, a really upscale and really, really nice playground area. Just things that will bring you to create a destination park. So it'll bring you not only the river, but to the park to enjoy some amenities there. Mm-hmm. We're still working on all those projects, but I would expect about 8 or 9 refurbishment and new things in the park probably over the next 3 years.
No, that'll be great. I know the city and the county have always worked well together. Right now, it's been in the news lately, the old county jail right downtown there. What do you think? I mean, what's your opinion of the county jail? What should that building be used for, and how could it help the city?
You know, it really probably needs to be torn down. That's my gut feeling. And after talking to everybody that's, there, it's kind of in two parts there. There was the original part, and then they kind of added on to it.
They did.
It's a jail. It's block walls. I mean, it's built to withstand a tornado.
Yeah. Right.
But you really can't then change the inside of it very well because of the way it's built.
Okay, if they tear it down, then what?
So then I would say there's some options there, whether it's public or private, the county owns that particular piece of property, whether, there's some discussion about a new facility there that might support county offices or running out of space.
Sure.
Could be a private sector development. There's some options with that. It could be a new juvenile center. It could be, I think it opens up a lot of possibilities. My gut is just it's probably not worth trying to remodel a building that wasn't built to be used for something other than a jail.
That makes sense. You're right. There's still cells in there. So
yes, there is.
What are you going to do with those?
Yep.
Let me ask you, we'll get into politics a little bit, I guess. Of course, you've already announced you're going to run for another term. What over the last three terms now, that you've four.
Oh, that's right. My fourth term. Yeah,
this is your fourth term.
Yep.
What do you think? What's your best accomplishment? What do you think what are you most proud of? Let's put it that way.
You know, I think it's not flashy that what we've done with our wastewater treatment plant and our sewage system, you know, it was old, it was outdated.
It sure was.
1961, it opened up. And, you know, some of this is mandated by the federal government. It was us trying to kind of clean up the river, clean up our community, collect this stormwater.
Right.
It's expensive stuff. You can't see it. It's underground. It's, you know, down by the river.
Yeah.
But to get in compliance where we're supposed to be with IDEM and the EPA was so important for our community. Maybe not to everybody else, but you know, when you flush the toilet, we have to make sure that what goes back into the river is the cleanest water we can. And we've invested a lot and we've done that. And we've met all the demands of the state and federal government. We're in great compliance with them. We're in a great position. Now we have to build out our collection part. We've got the plant done. Mm-hmm. Now we have to collect it. So it's not flashy, but it's so important to every community. I mean, Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, Evansville, they're all going through now what we kind of started about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. where they're having to make major, major investments. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you just have to do to keep your community clean and have a system that can support growth. Because if you don't have a plant that can support some of the, you know, the bigger manufacturers we're trying to get, then they're not going to come here. They're going to go somewhere where we have that. And so mm-hmm. we're starting to see the benefit of that.
Well, I think the river is probably cleaner now than it has been in years.
I've been told that probably in the last 75 years, it's cleaner than it's ever been.
That's
so that's really important to us. And then I guess just the fact that we are collaborating and working together, I've seen a lot of walls torn down. It's not about, you know, Democrats and Republicans and all that.
Right.
It's about moving the community forward. And so that was hard. That was tedious. That took time. Mm-hmm. And I think people had to trust each other. And so we've gone through a lot of that and made a lot of changes in areas that put us all on the same page, I think, which is good for our community.
That's great. You mentioned businesses and industry. Is there anything in the wind as far as maybe new industry?
Yeah, we've got some big ones. And now we're not going to get them all, but like on the list, there's probably 10 or 12 that are looking at Terre Haute that are, I mean, really big, like 600-700 plus employees with each one of them, which I worry about that, back to that workforce thing.
Yeah.
But you won't get them all anyway. But we're probably in the final few of two or three of those. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, well, if we get one of those, it'll be tremendous.
Yeah.
It's very competitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's a lot of interest in Indiana right now, the Midwest as a whole, but Indiana particularly. Right. So we're getting the benefit of that.
Great. Okay, and one last thing. Everybody wants to know, my neighborhood, what about my street? What about my sidewalks? Any paving projects coming up this summer?
Yeah, we've got community crossings projects. We're going to be doing some streets down around Terre Haute South, just in that general vicinity. We're going to be doing Walnut Street from 3rd to 19th.
Oh.
We're going to be the east part of Locust Street. So we've got several big ones like that, and then we've got a lot of smaller ones. We're going to spend about $3.2 million this year on paving in the city. Which the last 3 years have been the most we've ever spent in a year, in any one year. Sidewalks, we do about $500,000 each year, and it doesn't get as much as we'd like,
right.
But we're putting a lot of ADA ramps in. We're getting in compliance with those federal guidelines, and so people can access, you know, moving from sidewalk to sidewalk. So when the casino money starts coming in, we're going to be able to even invest more money in that. So we're gearing up.
They're really going up out there. I've noticed there's steel out there now.
Yep. It's moving, and they intend to open next March. And so we're looking forward to that.
All right. Mayor Duke Bennett, thank you very much for coming in this morning. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you very much. This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI and at 7 a.m. on WAMB The Breeze, 11:30 a.m., 106.9 and 99.5 FM. And on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. on 105.5 The Legend and at 7 a.m. on 92.7 The Rock, WFMB. For a replay of this program or any past programs, go to any of our station websites. Thank you for listening to Focus on the Community.